I remember reading an article from the time of Pope Benedict. The popes have a kind of a retreat house in the mountains they call Castel Gandolfo. It's out of the city of Rome, and so when the popes want to take a day off or a little vacation, that's sometimes that's where they go. So Pope Benedict was scheduled to make a little visit, I don't know, a day off or a weekend or something, take a few days off in this little retreat place, something like going to Tegetai. You know, we take get out of the city, go to a cooler place, away from the crowd, take a little rest. So Pope Benedict was scheduled to go there and take a little rest. Well, the word got out in that area that the Pope was coming, and so the school or some local school got all the children together and planned a cultural presentation for him, dancing and singing in Italian costumes and everything. So when the Pope got there, there was this big crowd of school children, and they're putting on their show for the Pope. And of course, they're very happy to see the Pope, and they're dancing and singing. Now, I don't know what Pope Benedict thought about that, but the one who wrote the article said, here's the Pope trying to take a break, and he gets to this out-of-the-way place and finds this big crowd of children. But the beautiful thing was, the Pope, after the children did their cultural presentation, the Pope gave a beautiful little talk about the beauty of music and how music lifts up our hearts to God and how we can praise God by serving and by doing things together. So he used the opportunity to give a beautiful short instruction to the children. Well, you could probably understand why that article came back to my mind, because today's gospel is something like that. Jesus tells the apostles, it's time to take a little break. Come away by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. Because the apostles were very busy doing their ministry, the ministry that Jesus himself gave them. He told them to go out two by two and proclaim the kingdom, call people to repentance, heal the sick, drive out the demons. That was really their mission. They came back to report to him, and he said, okay, now take a break from that mission. Take a little time for rest. But then, second part of the gospel, they get to the deserted place, and it's not deserted. It's filled with people who are eager to hear about the kingdom, or who have many needs they want addressed by Jesus and the apostles. So Jesus, because he's a good shepherd, takes the opportunity to teach them many things. Well, what we see here is two different things going on at the same time. One is the need of the apostles for rest, the legitimate need for a break, the need of the shepherds, you could say, to stop shepherding for a while. And then on the other hand, there's the need of the sheep. There's the need of the people who are so eager to receive or who are in such great need that they're going to make the journey to be there. So this is always going to be at work, these two principles, the need of the shepherds and the legitimate need for rest and the limitations of the shepherds and then the unlimited need of the sheep. Now, when it comes to the need for rest, I think it's important that we all recognize this is part of being human. We can't work all the time. No one should work all the time. Even people who are very busy, even people with lots of responsibilities, as busy as the Pope, they have to take a break sometimes. In fact, it's built right into the structure of the week. God, from the creation, the story of creation, he worked 6 days, and then the seventh day he rested. That's not for God's sake, that's for our sake. God can work all the time, and he does work all the time. He never stops being who he is, but he knows that we cannot work all the time. Have to take a break, 1 day out of seven. So that's a legitimate need. In fact, God has put it right in the structure of our life. Have a time for rest. That doesn't mean we don't have any work to do. Of course we do. There's never a time when we don't have anything to do. But we need some time aside, a time to a deserted place, go to a deserted place and rest a while. Since today's first Saturday, and we honor Our Lady today, I think it's good to connect our devotion to Our Lady or any of our spiritual exercises with this need for rest, because sometimes people treat their prayers as one more burden, one more thing they have to do, another task to fulfill. That's the wrong way to think about prayer, because if we do, we're just going to be more worn out after we pray than when before. Prayer is supposed to be a time of rest, spiritual rest. It's supposed to be a time when we recover our connection with God, who is the source of our strength. So if your prayer is wearing you out, you're not doing it right. Prayer should be a time of spiritual refreshment. Now, it's tiring to pray sometimes, yes, but it should still be spiritually refreshing. It should be a time when we pull aside from the busyness, the activities and responsibilities of the day, and connect with God, make space for God. That's in fact, today we're going to be praying the rosary after the Mass. Okay, that's not just another assignment or another topic on the list of things to do. It's a chance to take time to ponder the mysteries, to stop doing everything else, and take time to be with God. And Mary is the one who helps us be with God. So that's legitimate. And everybody needs a break sometimes. At the same time, there are needs that are always pressing. And this is what the apostles and Jesus recognize when they get to the deserted place. The people, their needs don't take a break. And then the question is, well, now what? There are times when we have to stretch. We have to go beyond what we thought we could do. When we can't take the break we think we need, and maybe we do need. There are times when we have to sacrifice what is for our own good for the sake of others. Yes, that does happen. Parents know this very well. Anybody in responsibility who's really responsible knows that there are sometimes when you have to put the good of the others, the good of the sheep, ahead of your own good. And yet, there's still a limit. What happens then? That is when we realize, well, the real shepherd is Jesus himself, and he has no limits. Jesus has no limits. He doesn't have to take a break, and he doesn't. He's always with us. He's always on our side. He's always providing for us. He's always listening. So even if the human shepherds reach their limit, God has no limit. And that's a very important thing for us to remember. We might not be able to do what needs to be done, and maybe those who we turn to can't do what needs to be done, but when we turn to God, he can always do what needs to be done. Sometimes he has to tell us it doesn't need to be done. Sometimes the answer of God is, no, it's not as important as you think. But the point is, God is always with us. He's the shepherd who always has the good of the sheep in mind and always does what's good for the sheep. In this case, we're all the sheep. No matter what our responsibilities are, we're all the sheep, and the Lord takes care of all of us. The hard part is knowing what the shepherd wants, what Jesus wants us to do. When does he want us to take a break? When does he want us to work? When does he want us to stop? When does he want us to sacrifice? That's related to what King Solomon faces in today's first reading. Solomon is the son of David. David has died, and Solomon has become king. And suddenly he finds himself in a place of power and great responsibility for the whole kingdom. He's grateful for this privilege, but he's also aware he has no idea how to do it. He turns to God. God asks him this, or offers him this blessing. Ask something of me and I will give it to you. Ask something of me and I will give it to you. Or what would you do if God asked you that? What would you ask God for? Solomon, who, even though he's still young, he already has enough wisdom to know what he doesn't know. This is part of the beginning of wisdom, right? To know that we don't know everything, to know that there are things that we don't know and we should know. That's the starting point. If we don't know that, we're really foolish. If we think we know enough, or we know everything, we're really foolish. So Solomon starts with the awareness, I don't know how to do this. I know it's your mission, the mission you've given to me, the responsibility you've given to me. I know that, but I don't know how to do it. So what does he ask? What does he ask from God? A wise and understanding heart. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding heart to judge your people and to distinguish right from wrong. Beautiful request. And the Lord is pleased with the request. You could say that when God told Solomon, ask for something, he was testing him. What's in your heart? What do you really want? And when Solomon says, what I really want is to do your will well, well, that's a good response. Make it possible for me to fulfill the mission you have given to me, Lord. That's a good response. And so the Lord does make Solomon wise. He's traditionally the wisest man who ever lived. We know that as he got older, he became foolish. But he was a very wise man because of this attitude of dependence on God. Humility is the basis of wisdom. It's a kind of poverty of spirit that makes it possible to be enriched by God. That's what Solomon does. In this story, God gives him not only a wise and understanding heart, but he also gives him riches and glory, power. He says that those things that other people think are so important, yes, I'll give you those too, but they're more like decoration. They're more like frosting on the cake. They're not that important. What's really important is wisdom. Knowing right from wrong and choosing what is right. Knowing what the real need is and responding to that need. Knowing what God wants and doing what he wants. That's real wisdom. Knowing whether it's time to rest or it's time to serve more. That's wisdom. But it's all based on making a space for God. Listening to God. Acknowledging that we have limits and we don't know everything. That's the basis of it all. The apostles, I'm sure, learned a great lesson when they went to what they thought would be a deserted place. They learned these two lessons, that yes, there are times when you need to take a break and need to go to a deserted place, but they also learned that God never stops providing for his people, that Jesus' heart is moved with pity for his sheep, and that's how our hearts should also be when we see the need of one another. Beautiful wisdom. We ask Our Lady on this first Saturday to pray for us and with us so that we too can grow in wisdom and have a wise and understanding heart.